When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast. If you're just tuning in, you missed it. The big news, Aziz Alshire has had a 3-game suspension handed down to him by the NFL. He will miss, as of right now, he will miss the Miami, Kansas City, and Baltimore games pending an appeal if he does indeed make one. Nick Caserio meets with the media in about 2 hours. So I'm sure that'll be the very first question will be about the impact of Aziz Alshire's suspension. You thought, Seth, he might be, you know, deferential to the rule book and to the league. I don't know, man. Especially if there's an appeal coming up. I could see Nick being like one of those head coaches in college football that's kind of campaigning for an at-large spot in the tournament a little bit.
Trying to
make a case for why 3 games is extreme, you know?
The problem is that it's hard right now in a situation right now where everything is at a fever pitch. And honestly, the suspension coming down as quickly as it did feels a little bit reactionary by the league in terms of maybe them getting a finger on the pulse of like how much uproar and outrage there is, whatever.
Yeah.
So many people, frankly, like I don't get it when people act like this is like the dirtiest hit they've ever seen. I genuinely don't understand that. And I right from the get-go said, look, Aziz is a guy that's constantly pushing the envelope on this stuff. He's got priors. I think there's a chance he gets suspended. He needs to learn when to like try to dial it back in those critical moments. But there are also a lot of other factors that led to this, including Trevor Lawrence sliding feet first late in the down, trying to get to the first down marker. And this is the big thing. There's way too many people out there framing this as helmet-to-helmet contact or targeting the head.
Including John Runyon, who handed out the suspension.
When he clearly, this is how they get away with it. They say head and neck area.
Yeah.
Because I would argue that Aziz was trying to hit the chest and the forearm slides up into the neck area.
So then they
get to lump in the head by saying head and neck area. But there wasn't contact. He didn't hit him in the helmet. If Aziz wanted to hit Trevor Lawrence in the helmet, he would have hit him in the helmet. Would have been the easiest thing in the world to do right there. So acting like that's the dirtiest thing you've ever done in football, do yourself a favor and Google dirtiest hits in NFL history.
I did.
You know, like it's not, come on. What are you talking about?
I did. It's crazy to think that this thing's getting lumped in. It was violent, there's no question, but that it's getting lumped in, that it somehow separates itself from the pack. in some way. Yeah. Like there's hits. There's a dozen, two dozen hits that look like that every season.
And there's so many examples because faking a quarterback slide is not illegal in the NFL the way it is in college.
Yeah.
There's way too many instances with Pat Mahomes specifically where he's looking like he's going to slide and then he ends up running a few more yards.
Yep.
And then the linebackers and the safeties end up looking like doofuses because Pat Mahomes is exploiting the rule for his own advantage. Yeah.
All the things that I feared would factor into a suspension, Seth, aside from the hit, aside from just the sheer violence of the hit itself, the optics of it, all the things, and even the melee afterwards, the things that I thought were unique to this that I thought would factor in all did, which was the forearm coming through the helmet. That got mentioned in the letter. You know, he's got a gigantic brace on that arm, too, so it makes it look worse. Mm-hmm. The Aziz's conduct after everything had died back down and he starts it back up again, that factored in. And I do think the way the letter was worded, your continued violation, the word continued means that they watched other... It wasn't the only hit by Aziz Alshire that they watched in handing down this suspension. Is what I would guess.
And that's where I think he was probably doomed from the get go to at least a one game suspension.
I agree.
My question about the whole thing is though the ramping up to three games immediately after, if all of this behavior was so concerning beforehand, at what point was he not delivered a suspension? You know, after the late hit last week, whatever it might be.
Yep.
The three games. They'll appeal it. To go back to your original question, I think they'll appeal it.
Yeah, I do too.
As far as how, so when everything's so hot button right now, like how do you get up and deliver some kind of a statement if you're Nick Caserio that tries to dial it back into a more rational level of discourse? Because it's radicalized me.
Yeah.
I went from trying to be super measured in all this, trying to be like old wise King Solomon.
Yep.
Now I'm like King Solomon where I'm like, nope, I'm going to cut the baby in half regardless. I don't care. Everybody's going down with me, damn it.
And by the way, let me point out, if you're not like a listener to all 4 hours of the show, Seth was this way at 6:02 a.m. today. This isn't something where the suspension has turned you in some way. You came you texted me at 5 in the morning this morning saying that you've been radicalized.
The level of lunacy of people claiming that this is the dirtiest hit they've ever seen is driving me damn
insane.
With
you.
McClain said in 48 years he's never seen a hit as dirty as that. And I just, this collective amnesia by otherwise intelligent people is alarming to me.
Yep.
Because I don't think, look, it happens in politics all the time, but they know what they're doing. I feel like these people are actually genuinely deluded and aren't seeing things clearly if they think that's the dirtiest hit they've ever seen.
It's wild.
It's
wild.
Unbelievable.
Yep, it's wild. All right, let's get to power ranking of the power rankings. Back to football, and we'll dig more into the Aziz Alshire suspension in a little bit. People texting in a name on the text line that we'll get to. Folks, we'll get to that. Let's start. We do four outlets, SI.com, CBSSports.com, ESPN.com, and TheAthletic.com. I just gave you those in no particular order, but we are about to put them in an order we call the power ranking of the power rankings. How did these outlets do in ranking the Houston Texans? And how, I guess more importantly, how impressed or unimpressed were they by the win over the Jacksonville Jaguars? We did that poll of Texan fans earlier, and a majority of Texan fans have basically the same level of confidence after that win that they did before. About 55% of Texan fans said that. The interesting thing is, of the other 45%, most of them are less confident now after that game, based probably in large part how that game, you know, the last 12 minutes on defense. Let's see what the experts think. SI.com is fourth on the power ranking of the power rankings. Seth, they have the Texans 15th. Unmoved from last week. They were 15 last week. They're 15 this week. Here's what Connor Orr says. If you want to read my take on the Aziz Alshire situation, you can do so here with a link.
Mm.
Only two other quarterbacks threw into more tight windows than C.J. Stroud did on Sunday, and I'm trying to decide whether that's because his receivers are not getting good separation or he's simply not seeing it right now. I think my takeaway is that Houston is doing a lot offensively to protect Stroud given the struggles of the O-line, which simply results in fewer available wide receivers. Stroud got smoked on his very first attempt on an excellent blitz from Devin Lloyd that nearly resulted in a sack. He still managed to get rid of the ball. I still think He's a plus player for Houston and is still making some excellent throws despite the circumstances. He being T.J. Stroud, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think he 100% is still making a lot of good decisions. I think the instances where, oh, hey, he could have had this guy or this guy was coming open, that happens to every quarterback, whether they're playing at an all-pro level or whether they're, you know, one of the worst in the league. That's going to happen, but I think they really stick out because every rep is at such a premium when the offense is struggling the way it has. By and large, when I think CJ has been guilty of turning down the open receiver, I'm not making an excuse for it, but I think part of the equation is that he doesn't know when the next deep shot's going to be there, or he doesn't know that, you know, when the next time they get stuffed on first and 10 is going to be. So there's times where maybe he's been pressing too hard earlier in the season, more so than now, and lo and behold, it tends to coincide with, oh, Nico Collins returned, and now I think CJ's parsing it out a little bit better. The offensive line play versus an admittedly bad defense last week, but the offensive line play has improved in some regards. I still question their ability to run the ball versus genuinely good run defenses, but the pass protection, the blitz pickup, you know, that Dalton Schultz touchdown, that was five-man protection plus a running back who stayed in to pick up the blitz. They handled the blitz really, really well, and it created an opportunity to throw to Dalton Schultz, who was wide open. I don't think we saw that much earlier in the year. So yeah, they have – the offensive line has made some improvements. It's just, can it hold up versus the really good defense?
Yeah, we'll find out soon enough. All right, power ranking of the power rankings. SI.com is fourth. Third, CBSSports.com. Pete Prisco has the Texans at 14th. Again, like SI.com, unchanged from last week. So they were 14 last week. They're 14 this week. The Jags win. The win over the Jags didn't do anything to move them. Here's what Pete Prisco says, very tersely. They still don't look right on offense, so the rest of the season has to be about getting it going for the postseason. C.J. Stroud hasn't been the same guy. So there you go. We just talked about C.J., so that's Pete Prisco's take on the whole thing.
I think C.J. Stroud hasn't been the same guy, or C.J. Stroud is in a different situation now.
That's where I am. I think it has way more to do with the ecosystem he's in this year versus last year as to why maybe some things have been dialed backwards with him. I put it this way, Seth. I have zero concern about C.J. Stroud long term. Zero.
Right.
That he's still the guy, you know?
I think that, you know, last week was a good example, and I think we've seen this the last couple weeks. I think for people who are starting to worry that CJ is getting rattled by the constant harassment and what have you, I think he's doing a pretty good job under the circumstances of staying in the pocket, moving around, keeping his eyes downfield. And last week, lo and behold, the Texans actually did a good job in pass protection.
Yep.
You know, he faced 9 pressures out of 40 dropbacks, where he'd been facing pressure over 33% of the time on average.
Dude, during the batch,
50% of the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, during that 3-week stretch, week 7, 8, 9, it would have been 20 pressures and 40 dropbacks, you know?
Yeah.
So
that is one part of the Jaguars, I think. The fact that they do have some, like, they do present some challenges in pass protection that are better than, like, their overall defensive
yes.
play. So that's the one area where I might look at and say, all right, offensive line, you know what? You showed me something. They've got some good defensive linemen over there, and for the most part, you did a good job of hemming them up.
Really? Their edge rushers are good edge rushers. Like, Trayvon Walker and Josh Hines-Allen are good football players. Laramie had the highest PFF score of anybody on the Texans in that game.
Oh, you know what? This is a topic for tomorrow, maybe. We got to start thinking about whether or not there's an offensive lineman in the circle of swarm this week.
Okay.
I'm going to give you some lead time to think about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a breakdown this afternoon. I got to look at the Texans' defensive ends too.
Yeah.
More closely, because the pass rush was not what we've grown accustomed to.
Yeah, they were invisible. Let's get to these last two outlets here. Power ranking of the power rankings. SI.com fourth. CBSSports.com third. Number two, The Athletic. The Athletic has the Texans 13th, and like the previous two outlets, Seth, they were 13 last week. They were the same rate. So they haven't moved one spot yet in the eyes of the experts we've gotten to. Here's what The Athletic says. The Athletic has their category this week for their blurb is worst case scenario for a team. Worst case scenario, C.J. Stroud's rookie year was a mirage. Ooh, and they say this. The Texans' second year QB is 25th in EPA per dropback, 23rd in passer rating. Since week seven, he's 27th in touchdown to interception ratio with five of each. He was good enough to beat Jacksonville on Sunday, but that's not the standard by which Stroud and the Texans will be judged this season. I think you and I just said, like, I'm not worried about CJ. I'm like, worst case scenario, his rookie year was a mirage. I don't believe it was. I think CJ is really good. I think he's going to be really good.
So. No, and I think that the big question is always going to come back to, is Bobby Slowick the guy to extract the best out of CJ Stroud? I don't think for a second there's going to be a change in coordinator during the bye week.
Nope.
0% chance. That was my gut feeling. And then credit to Bobby. I thought he made some good adjustments in the run game. They went to more gap scheme in the second half, and that worked out. For me, it's too little too late. I think if Kevin Stefanski gets fired this year, he should have the McNair family jet bringing him to
Speed
Houston
dial.
Immediately.
Yeah.
If there's a better option out there in the offseason, that they got to go after that guy. Stefanski might be awesome. That would be great.
Yeah.
The only problem with Stefanski is I think he'll get another head coaching opportunity.
I do too. I do too.
He gets fired,
he's a 2-time coach of the year. He's been a coach for 5 years. He's won coach of the year twice. You know, he'll get another chance. All right, last one. Power ranking of the power rankings. Number one, ESPN.com. Good job, DJ Bieniemy. You and your outlet are number one in the Payne and Pendergast power ranking of the power rankings, and the only outlet, Seth, who was impressed enough by the win over the Jags to actually move the Texans up this week. Up one big notch from 12 to 11 in the power rankings for ESPN.com. Their category this week, first-time Pro Bowl nominee, and I couldn't agree with this one more. Theirs is Derek Stingley Jr. DJ says this: Derek Stingley has played at an all-pro level with moments of dominance. He's held two teams, Cowboys and the Jags, to a passer rating of less than 5 when throwing against him this season. Like 5.0, like a passer rating, like, you know, that's usually in like the 80s or 90s. He's held those two teams to below 5. Among cornerbacks with at least 300 snaps, he's allowed the fourth lowest passer rating when targeted. He's had the second most passes broken up. Stingley was a Pro Bowl alternate last year, but he's trending toward being a Pro Bowler and an All-Pro with these numbers. I think Derek Stingley, by and large this year, has played at an elite level at cornerback.
Those are the and those two guys, Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley, are obviously a big factor in any game, but going up versus the Dolphins, the Ravens, and the Chiefs, and giving D'Amico an opportunity to play aggressively when he wants to play aggressively, you just absolutely have to get A-plus games out of those guys. I think the Ravens, if you look at the way the Eagles played the Ravens, the Eagles loaded up at the line of scrimmage, said, hey, we're going to take the runaway, and you know, do what you will on the back end. We'll try to cover these guys, and the Eagles did a good job of it. I think that's probably going to be the same approach the Texans take, and you just flat out need awesome cornerback play from that.
You do.
The other Broncos fan's going to be upset at ESPN for putting them one behind the Texans. Same
Ooh,
record.
Ha-ha, bum, bum, bum.
They're 12th behind the 11th place Texans.
They could play each other in the first round of the playoffs if the Broncos go on a little run right here. They have the same record right now, the Texans and the Broncos. The Broncos are 8-5. Sean Payton, who has been the target of much ire on this show from me and you over the last couple of years, he's doing a great job right now with Bo Nix and with the Broncos.
I don't like his face.
Yeah, I know. You had a look on your face. I'm like, Seth's not liking me saying this stuff right now.
I don't like the cut of that dude's jib. Okay. Yeah.
Fair enough. Pat, he fails the jib test. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. That's your power ranking of the power rankings. Up next, we'll circle back to Aziz Alshire. People texting in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. D'Amico, pick up the bat phone. Does he make the call? And
shine that J.J. Watt beacon towards the sky.
And where is Aziz Alshire on the list of most indispensable Houston Texans as we head into this 3-game stretch? We'll hash that out in just a little bit. Stay there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Aziz Alshire suspended for 3 games for his hit on Trevor Lawrence and all of it occurred shortly thereafter. It's outlined in great detail by in a letter from John Runyon, who is one of the VPs of football ops for the NFL. He was the one, former offensive lineman, former dirty offensive lineman, who he's the one who handed down this suspension to Aziz Alshire. Maybe we'll read the correspondence in just a little bit, Seth, but just to pay off on the tease for this segment here as we roll on here in the 9 o'clock hour on a Tuesday. Several of these on the 5 hour energy fan line. Time to make the call. Are you ready, JJ Watt? We've got several texts of just people saying JJ, JJ, JJ.
It's funny too, because I would imagine I asked the same question on X. I'm guessing there's going to be a bunch of replies that are like, hey, you know, he doesn't play linebacker. Yeah, we get it. We get it. There's but he does play in the front seven, and there's been a depletion in the front seven with both Aziz Alshire and then Christian Harris, who we've been missing all season long.
Yeah.
And Henry Toa has come along nicely. Neville Hewitt is good in certain roles, but having a one extra guy for pass rush, one extra guy for run stopping, all that stuff on the front seven in the form of a J.J. Watt, I'm not going to lie, I'm intrigued. But I've largely given up on that dream this year. It doesn't feel like that's in the cards.
He's just not looking or doing things that look like somebody who's really chomping at the bit to get back to playing football again.
He still
loves football, obviously, but
he still loves football. Yeah. Last year he was going through that phase where, man, you get out on the sideline again for the first time and you realize, oh wow, I miss a lot of this. But he was also kind of one toe in the water on the media side of things last year. This year it feels like he's really embrace the challenge of being a media person, and like his commercials are way funnier than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah, his commercials
I give him a lot of credit for his commercials. Once you start, we talked to Case Keenum earlier, man. Once you get that sweet commercial money, which JJ's already had in his career, but now he's doing it as a retired player. He's doing good in his current
job.
Dude,
there is not a single break in an NFL game involving the Texans, at least. Those are the only ones that I watch, really, from beginning to end and sit there during the breaks. I watch plenty of other football. But watching intently, there's not a single break that doesn't have a Watt Brothers commercial in it. Either a JJ individual or, you know, the Dick's Sporting Goods or the tacos.
They're almost, they're
Paramount,
damn near as,
Paramount Plus.
Sean, they're damn near as big as Jordana. So the, or is it Jardiance? So.
Jardiance, yeah.
Jardiance, my God.
Yeah.
The no, one don't they, do one of those
The
ads
one where they
me.
Sing and dance about their A1C?
I don't need to see JJ in a pastel button-up shirt dancing goofily around.
A1C, yeah.
I'm all for lowering your A1C, but not like that.
How much do you think it would cost to get JJ to do that? I feel like there's a dollar amount out there. I mean, it might be $10 million, but here's the thing. I feel like they're moving plenty of Jardiance right now. There's a lot of people out there who are probably pre-diabetic that don't need J.J. Watt's nudge to go get Jardiance, I would say.
This is a weird... You ever sit and you're watching football? I was watching last night and one of those Jardiance commercials comes up because it's my least favorite part of football right now. I hate those commercials so much.
You do?
It is so strange. And I'm not trying to go all, like, whatever, criticizing the medical industrial complex. Right? It's just... It's so strange that we've got ads... For medicine.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like back in the 1920s, like, Seth Payne here for quinine.
Yeah.
Are you traveling to the tropics? And I watch out for that malaria. It's just weird. It's weird.
And they're sizzly ads too. I mean, they got music and they got
the, it's a lot of money sunk into those ads, right?
And
trust me, I'm not trying to make a point about anything other than that, like many things in life, it's just strange.
It is strange. I think it's interesting that like half the time they've got to pay for on there is to list all the bad things that can happen to you when you take
Jardiance. Was it the Jardiance ones? I don't want to get sued. No, it wasn't Jardiance. It was another drug, a new drug that I'm being tantalized into buying. It was so long.
Yes.
Honestly, I was sitting next to Brandy and I made that point. And I was like, isn't it just kind of strange that we have all these ads for prescription medicine?
Yeah.
And like, as I was talking to her about that, we had a little mini conversation.
Yeah.
I turned back to the TV and they're still dancing their way through the disclaimers.
Right.
You know, like, hey, might get internal bleeding.
Yeah. They haven't even gotten to diarrhea yet. When are they going to get to diarrhea?
You know,
yeah. It's crazy. Like they talk.
Aziz Alshire hits you. That's when the diarrhea comes.
Yeah. Just ask Trevor Lawrence. Okay. So along those lines. Aziz Alshire suspended three really important games. As of right now, I can't imagine the Texans are not going to appeal this. There's no harm in appealing it. And as it's been pointed out to me by a friend close to the team, Aziz Alshire has not even gotten a warning yet for any of his conduct on the field.
They went,
as you pointed out, Seth, they went from 0 to 60 on him. You know, like that. Like they went from Aziz is just a hard-nosed guy that hits really hard, no warnings for anything, to boom, you are out for the three most important games of the Texans season, not just because of who you're playing, but because you're playing these three games in 11 days.
It felt like he all of a sudden they're operating by a different rule book. It's like when you pull off of I-10 and you're like, okay, look, I can get away with going. I mean, sometimes it feels like pretty much any speed or whatever, but you got your grace period, you know, keep it 10 miles per hour below, you know, above the speed limit or less. And you tend to be all right. You pull off into Spring Valley Village. All of a sudden, different set of rules,
Different
set of rules.
You're
going to get pinched. And it feels like they changed the entire way they enforce the law just for this one incident. Because, and this is what I'm bothered by the suspension coming down on a Tuesday. Yeah. A lot of times these suspensions take a full week to get announced, especially when the team's got a bye week.
Right.
I think the NFL had their rabbit ears about all this lunacy with people claiming this is the dirtiest hit they've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's not even close.
No.
It's not even close to one of the dirtiest hits you've ever seen.
No.
But they've got collective amnesia because they get so many clicks and so many tweets and so many engagements if they just say that this is the worst thing that's ever happened to a football player.
To be the dirtiest play you've ever seen, the cover charge just to get into the club of plays that can even be considered has to be intentionality. If there's no intentionality to it, then it's not the dirtiest play you've ever seen. Like when Charles Martin walked over and picked up Jim McMahon and slammed him on the ground, that's intentionality. When Albert Haynesworth takes his cleat and scrapes it across Andre Garrard's head, that's intentionality. I think Vontaze Burfict had intentionality of knocking Antonio Brown the bleep out of that game on an actual in-game hit. So you don't even get invited into the dirtiest hit ever club. Like you can't get through the velvet rope without you having your intentionality ID card on you. You know, you look right at it, you go, no, this, sorry, Aziz, you weren't intending to knock Trevor Lawrence out of the game.
If Aziz had wanted to hit Trevor Lawrence, well, for one, if we want to go to dirty hits, you got to start with helmet-to-helmet contact first.
Yeah.
And if Aziz had wanted to hit Trevor Lawrence in the helmet,
he
very easily could have in that moment. If your main issue with Aziz Elshire is that he should have been able to discern whether or not Trevor Lawrence was actually going to slide, even though we've got all kinds of evidence of quarterbacks faking a slide or being kind of hesitant. But okay, if you believe that he could have pulled off in that moment, then you must also believe that he could have also hit the head if he wanted to. So, because there's so many instances of helmet-to-helmet contact from guys who are launching, guys who specifically were targeting the helmet, and somehow those are less dirty than Aziz Elshire hitting Trevor Lawrence in the chest as he slid late? Come on.
Yeah.
Just stop deluding yourself.
Text message. We'll get to... I'm going to save the topic. The other topic we tease, I'm going to save for the last segment. Where is Aziz Elshire on the list of most indispensable Texans? That deserves more than the 90 seconds we have here. So I'll get some of your thoughts here on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Never apologize for physicality in football. Next time we play the Jags, I hope we, all caps, do it again. Trevor Lawrence getting hurt again and again will make this contract look even worse. Trevor Lawrence doesn't need to get hurt for that contract to look bad. I'll point out that he was 4-for-10 for 41 yards and an interception before Aziz Elshire splattered him on the turf. Okay?
Does anybody have the guts to point that out? That the best thing to happen to the Jaguars in that game was Trevor Lawrence not being their quarterback anymore? I'll tell you another thing. All right. I've seen people criticize the Jaguars players for not, you know, doing more frontier justice, not making a point later in the game or what have you. Maybe Jaguars players don't care all that much about Trevor Lawrence.
Maybe.
Doug Peterson's been pretty careful about how he's been talking about Trevor Lawrence. Like Trevor Lawrence is a guy who's gotten injured a lot. He's always got an excuse for all these different injuries he has. And yet, he put himself in danger with his decision-making on that. And the Jags players didn't see fit to really genuinely back him up other than Evan Ingram in the heat of the moment. So, I don't know.
I blame you for this text.
What?
I love the Sky Rizzy song. Absolute banger. Sky Rizzy.
Oh, the Sky Rizzy.
Yeah, it is a good one.
Which is the Sky Rizzy one?
I forget. I remember, but I get a good Pavlovian feeling when I hear Sky Rizzy. I'm like, I think I like that commercial. I think I do.
I miss the ED commercials. I can't remember which one it was. Maybe it was Cialis. With the bathtubs, because they're so weird.
Yeah.
It was like where they planted couples in like tandem bathtubs randomly out in weird places where there normally wouldn't be bathtubs. It didn't make any sense at all, but I liked it.
I like when they first started advertising on TV, all the ED pills. And it was every possible like phallic thing through a hole, like visual
like a
metaphor,
train going through a tunnel,
train
or
a football getting thrown through a tire or whatever. Like very subtle, very subtle. All right, final segment coming up. We'll get thoughts from the guys on In the Loop, as I'm sure they're getting ready to go with All Aziz Radio possibly here over the next few hours. We'll get their thoughts on it. Where does Aziz Elshire, as of right now, is going to miss the Miami, Kansas City and Baltimore games with a suspension? Where does this absence stack up on the indispensable list? Where is Aziz Elshire on the list of most indispensable Houston Texans? We'll talk that through coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Aziz Elshire is suspended for 3 games. Miami, KC, Baltimore. As of right now, there will be no Aziz Elshire. We'll get to where he is on list of indispensable Houston Texans. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday, and this is the cut that's getting a lot of attention on TV right now, on First Take and shows like it. D'Amico saying, we stand behind Aziz.
You know, with the entire Aziz, you know, situation, we stand behind Aziz and everything, you know, that came from that. Of course, he unfortunately hit on the quarterback. But it's also, it's twofold, right? I mean, a lot of the quarterbacks in this day and age, they try to take advantage of the rule where they slide late and they try to get an extra yard. And, Now, you're a defender. A lot of onus is on the defender, right? Whether it's on the sideline or where it's on the quarterback, you don't know what a guy is thinking. You don't know if a guy is standing up and he's continuing to run. You don't know. And then you get a late slide and you hit the guy. Unfortunate that Trevor got hurt. We hope Trevor is okay, but it's also if we're sliding, we have to get down. If we're getting out of bounds, we get out of bounds, and that rule is there to protect the quarterbacks, and we want our quarterbacks to be safe in the league, so we just have to be safe. If we're sliding, make sure we're keeping our heads down.
You know what makes this really interesting, Seth, just listening to both coaches talk about this, because we played some Doug Peterson audio yesterday, is that Trevor Lawrence's head coach is a quarterback. Azeez Al-Shaair's head coach is a middle linebacker.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like that part,
yeah.
It's almost like a tag team. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That part, that perspective, like that the head coaches who would be vociferously taking the side of their player, it's even amped up, I would imagine, especially for D'Amico, because D'Amico is the one whose player is getting punished today. And that quote, that cut was from yesterday, just to be clear. That's not new audio. But it's an interesting side wrinkle to this thing.
It's interesting, though, too, because if you hear some quarterbacks talk about it, like we had Case Keenum on earlier, and Case, without commenting specifically on the play, said that the thing that he always tells young quarterbacks is that if you're going to slide feet first, it better be with nobody else around.
Yeah.
Because what happens when you slide feet first? Your head is the last thing above ground eventually. Like, you're sliding towards the danger. Because Trevor Lawrence was trying to get close to that first down. He got within a yard. They mark it where your first body part hits the ground. His shin hit a yard before the line to gain. So it's also like it gives them that opportunity to cheat their way into a couple extra yards. And this is the kind of stuff that's going to happen. I like just either A, get rid of the quarterback slide completely. I mean, there's that part of me that once you're a runner, you're a runner, man. Like once you're a runner, then you are out there. You decided to run. Have your wide receivers get open. Have your offensive line block better. Once you're a runner, you are a runner. And the idea that you also get this invisible force field around you to where linebackers have to decide whether or not you're sliding. Because you're allowed to fake the slide in the NFL. Pat Mahomes does it. They haven't instituted the college rule. It's bogus. It's just bogus. And not all quarterbacks are siding with the quarterbacks on this. A lot of quarterbacks are saying, like, hey, well, like, look, all right, well, guys, you got to be careful when you slide feet first.
Azeez is going to be tough to replace if he misses these three games. I say if because there's a possibility of an appeal. He's definitely going to miss time. I would say best case, if it gets appealed, it gets bumped down to two games. Best case. But he's going to miss some time here against some good offenses. So where is he on the list of most indispensable Texans? I kind of cobbled a list together here of guys, Seth, that I think are either definitively more indispensable or are in the neighborhood with Azeez. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious. I'm going to go down the list here. To me, it goes without saying, I think there's at least like three or four where clearly you lose these guys and it's a major impact. C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, Joe Mixon. We've seen these already, right? We've seen Noah Azeez, too, so we should point that out. He's missed a few games.
And Azeez is more of a spiritual or
leadership.
He's like the heart and soul of the defense, but not necessarily the best performing overall,
you know?
So you can make do without Azeez. It's not potentially pretty, but it's not as cataclysmic as everybody else.
So where is he on the list? So CJ, Nico, Joe Mixon, I think Derek Stingley, I think either of the cornerbacks are more indispensable just because of the necessity of both of them being on the field to do what you want to do up front with blitzes and whatever. Similarly, I would say Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter, indispensable. Like those are elite level pass rushers.
The tough thing about Azeez is and we saw this in the fourth quarter when they started to decide to play prevent or soft zone and just try to bleed the clock as much as possible. If you're in a position in the game where you're only going to go with a four-man rush and you feel like you got to play zone for whatever reason, it's a lot harder to do without Azeez Al-Shaair out there patrolling the middle, and that's what I worry about. But you can still make do. I think you could still blitz as long as you got those cornerbacks out there. So it's the cornerbacks for sure. I think up there on the list of the indispensability.
Yes.
It's not a word, but still. The other thing, I think with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, it's tricky because it's awesome to have two bookend defensive ends that can rush. But as long as you still have one in the game, you can still get a lot done. So I think back
to that Jets game when Will went out. I'm like, wow, okay, stuff changed a lot after that.
Yeah, boy, it did. It changed dramatically.
Yeah.
And it was very, you could count how many receivers are out on routes.
That's right.
When Will was in the game, there were four receivers out on routes. When Will was out of the game, there were five.
Yeah.
It changed everything.
And I tend to think that Danielle would have the same effect if he were to go out. It's a little like the cornerbacks. Like, you lose one of them, and that's a big deal. You know?
Yeah.
And so I think those guys, what about Laremy? Laremy more indispensable than Azeez Al-Shaire?
I think that
much grief as Laremy gets from the
fans.
Yeah,
I know, as much grief as he's gotten, and I understand, like, honestly, justifiably so, in a lot of regards.
Not the penalties, for sure.
But
yeah.
Sometimes it does get to the point almost where so many people are trying to hit the narrative of him being such a great pass protector that they act like none of the rest of it matters. It does matter, though. Like, it is really, really important to be a good pass protector. If you were to lose Laremy Tunsil right now, I don't know that Blake Fisher is ready for prime time.
Yeah.
Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but we just don't. We don't really know. We haven't had enough time with him out there. So I would put, I'm like you, Joe Mixon, and for the non-quarterback positions, Joe Mixon and Nico Collins are the most important guys on the team right
They're
now.
They're in a class
because
by themselves, yeah.
The offense falls to dust if you don't have one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to go as far as those two guys take you, at least on offense.
The defense can lose any one of their star players right now and still be a respectable defense.
Yes.
The offense isn't currently a respectable offense, and if they lose Nico or Joe Mixon, they just fall back into JV level, you know.
If they lose the guy who gets all the carries or the guy who gets all the targets, then they're in a lot of trouble. Not all the targets, but you know what I'm saying. Payne and Pendergast with you.
And I guess then too, though, even that, like, because we've experienced time without Joe Mixon and without Nico Collins and without both of them at the same time. I feel like Joe Mixon, just because of the Nico Collins might be having a better year as an individual, like if you take the health and the missed games out of it. But Joe Mixon is the only thing they have going in the rush game a lot of the
time. That's it. Yep. Someone's texting in, Petrie is a bigger absence. Yeah, Petrie's on the two other names I had on my list, just total off the top of my head, I had 10 names. And I had Petrie. I put Tank Dell on the list just because you're really lacking in players that pose a threat downfield if you lose Tank Dell, like, specific to the role he plays. I know he hasn't had a great season or whatever. Now, Petrie's an interesting one. If Petrie doesn't come back from this pectoral injury anytime soon, you're talking about arguably maybe your two most physical players on defense missing those games against Miami. You're talking about your two most physical players on defense, Jalen Petrie and Azeez Al-Shaire, missing a game against a team that is widely viewed as soft. Reportedly, even in their own building, some of them are view the team as soft. I'm talking about Miami.
Yeah.
You know, that is a team I feel like that if you get up on them and you get a lead on them and you start to physically beat them, like, I think that is a game that the Texans might be able to win by a couple of scores if the game goes that way. You know, if it goes that specific type of game script.
I don't have a good feel for this. I've been trying to limit my social media usage. How much hate is D'Amico getting from the NFL public at large for him so vocally backing up and supporting Azeez Al-Shaire and also pointing the finger at Trevor Lawrence a little bit?
I don't know. I was too busy fending off the hate for myself yesterday.
Have there been big think pieces in the paper or anything about how, you know, D'Amico is out of line here or anything like that?
Not that I've seen. D'Amico's got a lot of equity in the bank in terms of people really, really liking him. You know, like if he were someone who was, let's say, I don't know, a former Texans coach. Let's say Bill O'Brien was backing up Azeez Al-Shaire in press conferences. It might go a little differently, I would say. You know, people seem to like D'Amico Ryan.
Well, so. I know people in Houston do, but around the league, it's just, you know, at some point, this is such a hot button topic, and it's got various people acting like there were war crimes committed out there on the field or something. Yeah. That I feel like somebody's gonna say, this is where I have to step in and speak out against D'Amico Ryan.
I would guess they're out there. Christian Harris is going to be a big name in all this too over the next few days. Does Christian Harris come back anytime soon? D'Amico gave us a 7-second answer on that yesterday. He's doing good. He's progressing, and we'll see where he ends up. So a lot of people calling for Christian Harris. I'm calling for John Lopez and Reggie Atatula. They are in the loop.
Make that call.
They're in studio right now. What's up, fellas?
Not much.
What's
man?
Happening?
Anything major happen?
Just John Runyon, noted dirty player in his time, hypocritically handing down 3-game suspensions to
I
our
saw
guys.
Seth's tweet with the retweet with the video, and I was like, everybody has one of those.
Who amongst us has? So
I tweeted out a video of John Runyon clearing out a pile by leaping over a ball carrier who was on the ground to hit a defender. Looks like either a linebacker or a defensive back. One of the cheapest shots I've ever seen. Way dirtier than anything Azeez Alshire did during the actual course of
human
play.
Torpedo.
I feel like the reason John Runyon is in a position like that is kind of sometimes like when the police hire a former criminal to help them track cases.
But you know what you don't do with those? You don't then have those former criminals stand up to explain to the public at large how awful these current criminals
and
are.
And actually hand out the sentence, right?
Like and that's the problem.
Judge too.
It was the way John Runyon said it, your lack of sportsmanship and respect for the game of football.
Well, he does have a lack of sportsmanship.
I like to think that if he were reading it, that is how he's saying it.
Enjoy watching. It's troubling. It's troubling. It does not reflect the core values of the NFL.
Well, if anyone would know.
John Runyon. So what do you guys think? What do you think 3 games here? Where are we at?
They brought the hammer down. That's for dang sure. The typical thing. He'll appeal. It'll get down to 2, maybe. It won't go down to 1.
No chance.
It'll be at least 2. And look, I hear what Seth is saying about everybody sort of. And Reggie said this yesterday, clutching their pearls and all that stuff.
Think of the children.
I get it, but it's one of those things like, what are they going to do? Are they going to let it slide? Hell no.
You're talking about the league going to let
it slide?
No, no, no. I think that's where I got. Like, I figured there'd be a suspension. I didn't. Yeah. I thought it would be 1 game.
I did too.
The fact that they cite all of this previous egregious play over the line, et cetera, and yet, okay, then how do you go from 0 games to 3 games if all of it was so awful before?
Mm-hmm.
That somehow we're going to drop the hammer because all of that really, really awful stuff beforehand, like, all right, well, you didn't even think it was worthy of a single game suspension the first time around. And I guess a lot of it comes down to, I think some people can't get over the optics of a quarterback in a defenseless position getting hit. But they're doing it to the point where they're claiming things that didn't happen. They're claiming it was helmet-to-helmet contact,
mm-hmm.
which it just was not. Like, all these other things, I feel like they're allowing their emotions to take over, and it's annoying me.
They think he's Vontaze Burfict.
Like,
that's getting treated like it. Yeah.
That is the thing that has become abundantly clear, is that the impression and the perspective that we have gotten of Azeez Alshire locally, where we get to see the, you know, human that cares about other humans, and like that, I mean, what you heard D'Amico Ryan speak to, nobody else gets any of that. All they get is the dude who plays with the level of physicality that belies a madman.
Yep.
And that is the way that they are policing him.
Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line. I'm on Adam Schefter's Twitter page, and there's a lot of comments and replies to the announcement of the suspension backing D'Amico Ryan, saying Trevor needs to slide earlier. Good job, society. Way to go.